With me to Matthew chapter 1 as well as Luke chapter 1. We're going to be looking at several passages of scripture this morning. Matthew chapter 1 and 2 and Luke chapter 1 and 2. Lots of verses. I want us to see several things that we can discuss about what can I give him. Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1. But before we go any further, let's bow again for prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on our time this morning. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you for the gift that you gave us that first Christmas morning in the gift of your Son. Thank you, Lord, for all of the individuals that played a part in the Christmas story. Lord, I ask that you would help us as we look at this story to understand our responsibility to give to you as well. To understand that as much as we give to others, our first responsibility is to make sure that we're giving to you what you deserve. So, Father, I ask for your blessing on our time this morning in your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Suzanne found this book, and in this book she read this story and shared it with us, and I wanted to read it to you this morning. It said, I had a dream. I had a dream, Joseph, and I don't understand it. Not really. But I think it was about a birthday celebration for our son. Well, I think that's what it was about. People had been preparing for about 6 weeks. Everyone had decorated their houses and bought new clothes and gone shopping many times, buying elaborate gifts. It was peculiar, though, because, you see, the gifts weren't for our son. They wrapped them in beautiful paper. They tied them with lovely bows and stacked them under trees. Yes, trees, Joseph, right in their houses. Each household decorated a tree. The branches were full of glowing balls and sparkling ornaments, and a figure was on the top that looked something like an angel. Oh, it was so beautiful. Everyone was laughing and happy and excited about the gifts. They gave gifts to each other, Joseph, not to our son. I don't think they even knew him. They never mentioned his name. Doesn't it seem odd for people to go to all that trouble to celebrate somebody's birthday when they don't even know him? I had the strangest feeling that if our son had gone to this celebration, he would have been intruding. Everything was beautiful, Joseph. Everything was full of cheer, but it made me want to cry. How sad for Jesus not to be wanted at his own birthday celebration. I'm glad that was only a dream. What if it had been true? I can remember as a child in first grade having a part in the Christmas program where I said the little poem that we have all heard, what can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I'd give him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I'd do my part. What can I give him? I'll give him my heart. This morning, I want us to look at what we can give to God and what we see in the Christmas story as far as what gifts were given by the individuals in the story. First, I want us to see that the wise men gave possessions. If you look at Matthew chapter 2, we'll read verses 1 through 11. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and now Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So the wise men gave possessions. These possessions were priceless. The gold is the most precious metal. That is worldwide. Gold has always been the most precious metal. It's a universal symbol of material and value and wealth. It was used extensively in building the temple. And it was a symbol of nobility and royalty.
So they brought gold. Frankincense is a costly, beautiful smelling incense. It's used for only the most special of occasions. It was used in the grain offerings at the tabernacle or the temple, and it was used in royal processions. And they also brought myrrh. Myrrh was also a valuable perfume. It was mixed with wine, and it was used as an anesthetic. It was mixed with other spices, and it was used in preparation for bodies for burial. And myrrh was used in the preparation of Christ's body for burial. So there were prices, but they were also a picture. Gold is a picture of royalty, frankincense a picture of worship, and myrrh a picture of his death. So these were gifts that the wise men brought, that they brought to the Christ child. They brought these expensive gifts, and that's what God had for them to bring. But then also we look at the shepherds. Now turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. The shepherds gave their proclamation. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. This is when Mary and Joseph had come to Bethlehem. They'd gotten there, and there was no room for them in the inn, so they're in a stable. Mary has the baby, and in verse 8 we begin reading, and they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the angel has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So the shepherds were out in the middle of the field at night, watching their flock, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and as you can imagine, would have startled them, would have scared them to death. I can't imagine what I would have done. I'm jumpy anyway, but for an angel to appear, and they'd never seen an angel before, in the middle of the field to shepherds, and then the angel said to them that the baby had been born, and they need to go find him, and then all of a sudden the sky was filled with the heavenly host of angels saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was funny, as you look at it, verse 16, they came with haste. They were prompt. They didn't wait around. They didn't stand there talking to one another and say, Wasn't that a great concert? Or isn't that amazing that the Messiah had been born? The angel told them to go find Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And so they did. They were prompt. And they found proof. They found the baby lying in a manger. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. Can you imagine their thought process as they're going? Because the angel had told them to go find them, to find the Christ child in a manger. Now, a manger would not be the place where you would think that the King of Kings would be lying as an infant. You would think, not that they had hospitals, but you'd think it'd be in a palace. You'd think it'd be in a beautiful place where there'd be a great celebration going on. And yet the angel told them to go find this baby in a manger. And yet they went and they found the baby. They found the proof. But I also thought they risked their profession. They were willing to leave they left the sheep. It's almost like they forgot about what they were doing while they were out in the middle of the field at night, keeping watch over their flock. Maybe, perhaps they left a few shepherds back to go to keep an eye on the sheep, but a majority of them left to go find Mary and Joseph, and they found him. So they gave of their time, they gave of their energies as they proclaimed, because it says there, and when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying that was told them concerning this child. They were bold in proclaiming that the Messiah had been born. If you can imagine, this was probably the middle of the night. And here are these shepherds who were probably not the most well thought of people. They probably, because they had been out in the fields watching their flocks, they probably weren't the most pleasant smelling or dressed appropriately to go proclaiming that a king had been born. And yet they went out and made known abroad in the middle of the night, waking people up. And I don't know about you, if someone was pounding on my door to tell me that somebody had, a baby had been born, I, middle of the night, I don't know that I would have been greeting them cheerfully. But they were making their proclamation. They gave of their proclamation. But then I want us to look at Joseph. Go back to Matthew chapter 1. I know we're going back and forth, but this is good. Joseph, we see the wise men gave their possessions. Shepherds gave their proclamation. Joseph gave his plans. Joseph was a man that was betrothed to Mary. They had committed themselves to one another. Their families had come together in committing these two young people together, and they were planning a wedding. They had, in Jewish culture, they would announce the betrothal, and usually in about a year, the husband would go and begin preparations for a home for his bride. And so that's the process where they were in, that we're in this process now as Joseph is approached by the angel. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you can imagine, as a young man engaged to a young woman, and she comes to tell you that she's expecting a baby, that would be one thing. But then for her to tell you, I'm expecting a baby by the Holy Ghost, that would be another thing. Difficult to digest that information. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. In the culture of the day, during this betrothal period, if something like this happened, the betrothal could be canceled, but they would make a public, it would be a public declaration, and the woman would be shamed because of the condition that she was in and because of what she had done. And so Joseph was going to put her away, which that's what he meant. That would be the divorce, because in the Jewish culture, when the betrothal was announced, they were just as if they were married. The only thing that they had not done would be consummate their marriage. And so this was a binding agreement, and there would be a divorce here, which would free the innocent party to marry. So he was going to put her away privily. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Joseph gave up his plans. He risked the perception. Because he went ahead and married Mary, it would be assumed, when it became obvious that she was with child, it would be assumed that it was his child, and they would be under a cloud for the rest of their lives. And this baby would be under a cloud for all of its life, because it would appear that they had been involved intimately before they were married. So he risked the perception. He sacrificed his pride. He was willing, because this was the Son of God, he was willing to be obedient to what God told him to do through the angel, and would be humiliated. the wedding plans would be over. He gave up his preparations. He would not be, they would not continue that process of preparing for the wedding and preparing for the big feast, the big celebration for these, for this young couple to come together. All of those preparations would be done. And he even was willing to give up his pleasure. It says he knew her not. There was no physical intimacy between Mary and Joseph until after Jesus was born, because the prophecy was given that he would be born of a virgin. And so Joseph gave up his plans. Joseph gave up everything because it was the Son of God. Then I want us to look at Mary. Go back to Luke chapter 1. If you can imagine a young woman betrothed to be married to Joseph, eagerly anticipating her wedding and being married and having a family, a godly young woman, had been obedient to her parents and was ready to get married. Mary gave her person. Luke chapter 1, begin reading in verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came and said unto her, and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled in her mind and cast into her, she was troubled at his saying and cast into her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and thou shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How can this thing be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and is in the sixth month with her who is barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste in the city of Judah and into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and saying, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty in from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel and remembered in remembrance of his mercy. He spake unto our fathers, to Abraham, to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her for about 3 months and returned to her own house. First of all, when we think of what Mary gave, she offered praise to God. When we look at verses 46 through 55, Mary is praising God. My soul doth magnify the Lord. She wanted to exalt the Lord and exalt him and lift him up. She was praising God. It was physical. Her gift was physical. She carried the Christ child for 9 months. She went through the birth process, giving birth to him. She also risked the perception She is the one that carried the stigma of an unwanted pregnancy. When people found out that she was with child, how many people would believe that she was with child of the Holy Ghost and that she was still a virgin? The stigma that would go with her, that would follow her. She sacrificed her privacy, her future, all of her plans for the future, the plans to have a family, the plans for a wedding, the plans to have a grand celebration and for her to be presented to Joseph and for them to go away together and start their family, start their home. She gave up all of those things because God called her and she was willing to give herself, her person. She offered her praise. It was physical. She risked the perception. She sacrificed her privacy. You think about it. Those of you who've had children, you ladies, if you can imagine traveling as Mary did for the last part of her pregnancy, the last days of her pregnancy, was traveling either walking or riding on the donkey just before she gave birth. I've obviously never given birth, but I've been with my wife those last days before delivery, and I can't imagine asking her to get on a donkey. I can't imagine. We walked quite a bit. I do remember that. But then for her to go into labor when there's no place to stay and to be escorted to a cattle stall and to try to be comfortable there, and Joseph scrambling to try to find somebody to help him or help her be comfortable, to try to meet her needs, she was willing to give her person, and in giving her privacy and having a baby in a, I know when you get to that point of delivery, it doesn't matter where you are, you're ready to have the baby. But Mary was willing to go through all that. God gave her that job, that opportunity. So we looked at the wise men gave their possessions. The shepherds gave their proclamation. Joseph gave his plans. Mary gave her person. But the ultimate gift that was given, the ultimate present that has been offered, God gave provision. John 3:16, one of the most familiar verses in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave. And what did he give? His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave his Son. God gave his Son because we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because we're all sinners, the wages of the payment for our sin is death. But, the Bible says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So God gave provisions. He gave his Son. He gave the opportunity for salvation. And in doing that, he gave peace. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The peace of God. In Colossians, we read about being careful or being anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So God gave the potential for peace. You know, in our world today, there is a desire for peace. When we think of North Korea, we think of Iraq and Iran. We think of Israel and the President Trump declaring that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel and the turmoil that has erupted from that. Our world desires peace. The world wants peace. They don't want war. Well, I guess some people wouldn't mind war, but by and large, the world wants peace. And the only way to have true peace, God offers in the gift of his Son. The peace that people are longing for around the world, that peace is only going to happen through Jesus Christ. And when Christ is on the throne, But we know through Scripture what has to happen before that happens. But the peace of God, God offers peace. God presented and gave his provision of peace. He also gives the provision of his presence. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, he says, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." As a child of God, if you accept God's gift of salvation, if you accept that free gift that God is offering to each one of us, then the Bible says that we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. God indwells us. His presence is with us always. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Praise the Lord for his presence in our life. When everything else in our life may be going nuts or haywire, or there may be turmoil in our life, the presence of God is not going to change. It doesn't matter what we do, as a child of God, his presence is in our life. He's indwelling us. He's offered us peace. And he's also, in this gift that he's given, given a promise. Turn with me to John chapter 14, just a few books over. John chapter 14, Jesus is getting ready to leave the earth. In John chapter 14, he tells his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." We have the promise that he's going to come back for us. We have the promise that he's preparing a place for us, so that one day we're going to be in the presence of God. As a child of God, if you've accepted God's gift of salvation, he promises eternal life. He promises us that we're going to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and he's promised to go and prepare a place for us. So it doesn't matter what else goes on in this world. We've got this promise that he's going to prepare a place for us. And when he calls us home, that place is ready for us. Whether it's by death or by rapture, he's coming back for us. He's gone to prepare a place, and he's coming back. So, what will you give to him? We see what all these gifts that were given. We see the wise men gave their possessions. They were priceless. They were a picture of what was to come. The shepherds gave their proclamation. They were prompt. They found proof. They risked their profession to let it be known to all the world, to anybody that was listening, that the Messiah had been born. Joseph gave his plans. He risked his perception. He sacrificed his pride. He gave up the preparations. And he gave up his pleasure. Mary gave her person. She offered her praise. It was a physical gift because she carried the child. She also risked the perception. She sacrificed her privacy. And then ultimately, God gave provisions of peace, his presence, and his promise. In our house, since our kids have been were small, we exchange gifts. We've got to the point where we finally start drawing names. Usually about October or November, all the eight children and the two brothers-in-law at this point, we put their names in a bowl, and they pull out the name, and they keep it secret if they want to keep it secret, whose name they have, and they get a gift for that person, rather than everybody having to get gifts for everybody. It would be crazy. Besides, would there be no room in the house for anything but the gifts? But they get gifts for each other, and they try to think of what would be the best gift. I can remember as a kid doing that. I think I shared with you before. We would go to the five and dime store to get the gifts. And I remember, I don't know if it was me or if it was one of my sisters, got my grandfather Rolaids, a little roll of Rolaids, because he was always eating them. So we knew that was a perfect gift. That was something that he loved. And we'd get him Rolaids. My grandmother would always give us a box of hot chocolate mix. And my mom has taken up that tradition with our kids. Box of hot chocolate mix. Those were, you know, we would exchange gifts, trying to think of what the best gift that we could give. And some people it's easier to buy gifts for. And at Christmas time, we exchange gifts. Usually on Christmas Eve, the kids exchange their gifts on Christmas Eve. That's all they get. That's the only thing we do on Christmas Eve. The rest of them get opened. Whatever's left gets opened on Christmas morning. But we exchange gifts. I get a gift for you. You get a gift for me. It's all great fun. The ladies did a Yankee swap at the fellowship on Friday night. We exchange gifts. We have been given a gift in the gift of Jesus Christ. And we look at the list of these individuals, the wise men, the shepherds, Mary, Joseph. God gave gifts. And we try to think of the best gift that we can give. What gift have you planned to give to God? You know, I read the little story at the beginning about if Mary had had a dream about all the gifts that were given, that are given at Christmas, but Jesus is never even considered. We take a lot of time and we spend a lot of money this time of year buying gifts for individuals that we love and we care for. What gift are you offering to God this year? What have you seriously contemplated? What does God want you to give? What does God deserve? Well, first of all, I've already read the verse in 1 Corinthians that says we are bought with a price. He desires that we live for him. We're to glorify him with our bodies. Romans chapter 12, one of our verses that we use quite a bit here, that we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. So when we're thinking about gifts, are you prepared to give a gift to God? He's given us everything that we could ever need in the gift of salvation. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted that gift, that's the first step. That's what you need to do. And you know what? You need to understand that that gift is offered to each one of us. Free gift. Can't work for it. You don't have to get yourself all cleaned up before you can receive it. It's a gift that you can have right now. It's a choice that you have to make yourself individually to accept that gift. It's not yours until you receive it. But then as believers, God desires our life. Have we stopped and thought about it? I mean, seriously thought about it today as I'm preparing for Christmas. Am I willing to give God my life? Every aspect of my life. We've talked about time, talents, and treasures in 2 Corinthians about giving. Am I willing to give everything to God and say, here I am, Lord. Take me, use me. Choir just saying, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my king. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my love, my God, I pour at thy feet, its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever, always, all for thee. Are you ready to exchange gifts? God has already given his gift. He's ready for you to give your gift to him and offer it to him. I'm going to pray. As I'm praying, I want you to pray and talk to the Lord. I want you to be willing to give your gift to God. Right there where you sit, offer yourself to him. Say, Lord, you've given me everything. You've offered me salvation. As a child of God, I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I know I've got a home in heaven prepared for me. I want you to take my life. I want you to use me for your honor and glory. I want to be used by you. I'm giving myself to you.